Welcome to the GOG Cast, brought to you by Mad Cats, all about the game. An XSplit broadcaster, simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Welcome to another Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah. I am your host for this here episode number 77. My apologies in advance. I have a cold. So Candy sex phone operator voice.
She has her FM voice tonight. Yes, the FM. Leah.
It's gonna happen. We've got a wicked, awesome, totally cool podcast for you here today. Before we get into it, I gotta introduce you to all these fun-loving people I got around me. We've got our technical podcast producer extraordinaire, Simon. How's it going?
Pretty good. I'm not sick, so that's always good.
Like, you didn't catch my cold? Good.
No, and neither did I catch Catherine, so far so good. Crossing my fingers.
All right.
Gonna happen
now. Keep the plague away. We've also got Miss Sarah. How are you doing, my dear?
I'm fighting with Twitch right now, but otherwise I'm good.
Oh, that's a duel that no one will ever win.
No, pretty much.
And you're probably wondering who that friendly other face is that you've never seen before. Or maybe you have seen him before. It's Kwame Tempo Mensa, streamer and artist extraordinaire.
Hi, damn. How are you doing?
I am excellent, and thank you so much for coming to hang with us.
No doubt. Thanks for having me, actually.
No problem. So,
hey, guys, one quick second. Audio is a bit delayed, so I'm going to restart real quick. It's going to take half a second. We'll be right back, guys.
Okay.
And we're back. Take it away, Leah.
We're back. It's all on. The lights are on. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
like we never left.
No messing around. Hopefully it's back. Well, usually it is.
I think my thing is starting to play again. Oh my god, the freeze frame on my face. Do you guys see that?
No, I don't. I didn't see it.
No.
Is it glorious?
Oh, it's amazing.
Oh, it's good.
Anyways, well, thank you for coming to hang out with us. We met, Lanny TS?
Lanny TS, yeah.
Yeah, and then saw each other again at DreamHack.
Yep.
And I said, you got to come hang with us on the podcast and talk video games.
I know, and I actually did. You invited me. I was like, okay. It wasn't an empty invite, you know? I'm like,
no, it was legit. It's real. When I invite people, I mean, it's
it really
legit.
Does like me.
We are the real deal. There's no messing around.
Real deal. All right, guys, before we get into all the hot news that happened in the past week, let's talk about what we're all playing. Tempo, you are the guest.
Okay.
So what are you playing right now?
I've mainly been playing Overwatch and StarCraft 2, but my friend, and Sarah knows him too, actually brought him a nice gift, Maynard. Mm. He inspired me to give the Dark Souls series a go.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
He said, yes. You have to play this. This is like the best game ever. And I've always been an RPG fanatic, so I think my next game that I tackle.
Which one are you starting with?
I'm going to start with number one, baby. I got to just...
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Go
no,
straight
it's,
in.
It's... The easiest one to get into is probably 3, but if you start with 1, you will enjoy 3 a whole lot more when you
do. A whole lot more?
Oh, yeah.
Man, yeah, I'm ready. I've prepared mentally and emotionally. I have a binky, have a teddy bear.
Nice.
Are you going to stream it?
And a stuffed moose.
Do you
That's
have
what I'm afraid of. I think I might, though.
Oh.
Are you playing on PC or are you playing on console?
I'll play it on PC, but I do have a controller.
Okay.
Get the,
have extra controllers ready, because it's one of those games. Fling it.
Honestly, we will keep in touch, but whenever you have the moment, and you will know what I'm talking about when it happens.
Oh, God.
But no. It's a good thing. At one point, you'll be frustrated, and this game is crap, I hate it, and then you'll have the moment where everything makes sense. Like, oh. And then it's gonna be the best game you've ever played. It's the same thing with everyone. You're frustrated for the first couple hours, and then it just clicks, and you go, "Holy shit, this is awesome!"
Okay, I've had it.
Don't give up.
Forever, but I never ended up really trying it. And I'm a guy that like doesn't really rage or anything, so I think it would be fun to see Tempo really get close to the limit.
Well, if it's anything like me playing Battletoads, you will rage.
Oh god. We don't talk about Battletoads.
Ooh.
Oh my. Simon, you're playing Overwatch, right?
Well, yes, I'm playing Overwatch, I'm playing Pokemon Go, I'm playing World of Warcraft, I'm playing, I'm actually right now downloading Deus Ex.
Woohoo!
So, nice. Hopefully,
guess who's reviewing that?
I mean, I had a great time.
That just came out?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. So, preloading has started, and I'm a huge, huge fan of Human Revolution, so I'm excited to see it. Apparently, people who loved Human Revolution will absolutely love Mankind Divided, so I'm really looking forward to it. So,
sick.
Fingers.
Tweet. And Sarah, you're also playing Overwatch. Everybody but Leah's playing Overwatch.
Pretty much. Or Diablo. Oh, I'm playing Diablo.
That too.
That is also a thing.
Yeah, playing Diablo as well. Got to play with Crazy Cat the other day. A new friend I made online. It was lots of fun. He leveled me, like power leveled me to level 70, Paragon 30. So, yeah, but I still haven't finished the story, so I can't do much until I finish the damn story. So, yeah, that's my next project.
Just tell him to teleport you to Malfiel and kill him. It's going to take 2 seconds.
Yeah, I know. Eventually. We'll get there.
So you guys get the full experience, you know?
Like, yeah. I went through the Act 3 to 4 screen thing. Man, they know how to make, like, the
cinematic scene.
Blizzard is on point. Like, everything I've seen out of Overwatch, oh my god.
Yep.
Feels from that Bastion video. I'm not even playing Overwatch, and I'm totally hooked on the characters.
They're good. They're amazing at that, to be fair.
I'm excited to see what they're going to do next. I don't know if they've teased it or anything. I haven't seen anything, but...
Sombra.
I think they did.
Sombra is the next thing for Overwatch.
No, but I mean, the next short is what I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe that one.
Sombra and Doomfist. They better release both at the same time. It'll be awesome.
Yep.
Come on.
Maybe Vine Art, since it just did its own one.
Simon, have you seen the new map?
Yes.
Have you gone on it?
Yes. I haven't gone on it yet, but yeah, I've seen it.
Shit. So pretty.
There's a bonfire in it.
That's the one that's like the castle, right?
Yeah.
Castle.
So huge.
What is it called? Esquiler?
Heisenwalde.
That's the one. It's the German.
Oh, wow, German.
It's a German one. It's so pretty, but it's gonna be a headache. It's gonna be a nightmare.
Why?
I love it.
She was talking about that. I don't know. I'm just like visualizing it, and as she's like, no, there are too many corridors here.
too many corridors, too many.
Well, I mean, you'll get used to it. It's like in a new map. Now it's all new, so you don't know anything about it. So it's like everything. There's too many ways to be there, but there's actually two.
You'll memorize it enough times. Just give it a few playthroughs, and
you'll be fine. The flanks are gonna have fun.
Just want to get Reinhardt's new legendary skin. That's all I want.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen the other skin? There are two new skins for Reinhardt.
I want to see the other one.
Oh, it's so pretty. It's kind of like the Bastion Overgrown.
Ooh. Oh, that's awesome.
All right, guys, let's get into some news. And first off, the block. Oh, sorry, my dog is scaring me as he jumps from the floor to the bed. Tempo, you were at DreamHack, and lucky for us, we get another chance for you to come. Because it's been announced, DreamHack's coming back. This is from Slingshot Esports, saying that DreamHack confirms a return to Montreal and other Canadian events, which is kind of cool. So it looks like it's coming back next year, 2017. So that's really awesome, because we were actually debating that in the last podcast, if we were going to get to see it again. Tempo, what was your experience with DreamHack?
Oh my god, it was so good. Like, I wasn't sure what it was exactly. I didn't know if they were going to have a bunch of different games, you know, but they had like the BYOC event, so even if you weren't qualified, you could still play no matter what. I didn't end up bringing mine, unfortunately, but the experience as a pure spectator was awesome, you know. I was over at the StarCraft section for the most part, and also bouncing between Smash. And damn, yo, that Canadian crowd, though. That Canadian crowd is insane. It was so epic.
Hearing people yell at the StarCraft 2.
I know, it was amazing.
Insane.
It was crazy.
That's what I wanted.
Yeah.
I wanted that atmosphere.
Every StarCraft event I've been to, it's pretty much that.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Energetic like that?
They're crazy.
It's that passion is strong.
Passion is real. So yeah, that's really awesome that they're gonna come back next year, because we were curious if they were going to do that, and then they also want to go to other cities. So I guess we'll stay tuned to find out what happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, my inkling is if they're gonna go anywhere after Montreal, it'll be Toronto, and then maybe Vancouver.
I know Vancouver has been just dying to have an event, right? West. Yeah.
It's
exactly.
So expensive.
Well, yeah, like we were talking last week, one, it's expensive, and two, because of the time zone difference with Europe, it messes up a lot of things. So
I'm thinking they might go more towards maybe Midwest U.S.
Be more doable.
Like Boston or maybe NYC. NYC is expensive.
It sounds like another Canadian one, though.
Yeah, I was thinking about the Canadian ones. You know how they said different Canadian locations for
Toronto? Definitely Toronto.
Toronto.
Yeah.
They did an IEM at the Fan Expo in Toronto. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. There's one coming this year, Northern Arena, happening at Fan Expo now in 2 weeks.
Okay.
So esports is coming up.
Yeah.
Fast and Furious.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Are you guys hyped about the Assassin's Creed movie?
I am.
Yeah, well.
No?
Oh my god.
I don't care for Assassin's Creed.
You're crazy. I love Assassin's Creed.
I don't play like all of them that come out, but the movies, I don't know. I'm a huge parkour. Like, I watch YouTube videos and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And my boys do a bunch of videos where they flip around and go around the city. So.
Can you do it?
A little bit.
I'm
not a pro at it. But, you know, I got a little style. I got a little style under my belt.
Sweet. That's mad skills. I can't do that. I got two left feet.
I think I'm single again.
Yikes. It's all good.
It's done. Look, you gotta have, in a relationship, you have to have your life together, which is Overwatch.
Yes.
And then you have to have your life apart.
Exactly.
Bianca be the Assassin's Creed stuff while you go and do something else.
I'll go play Dark Souls.
The idea is you have the life together and the life apart. There's your relationship advice from Leah.
Right? Relationship.
Hey, man, you've been with Mike for a long time and you're married, so I would listen to you. So
Simon, you do you, boo.
I do me. That's a good idea.
All right, let's talk about this.
Well, I'm going to say, if I'm single, I will do me.
Myself.
I
mean, PG. PG.
No, it's explicit. We're 18 plus.
All right, so Assassin's Creed film is coming out, and they performed one of the highest jumps done in 35 years, 125-foot free fall to do one of the leaps of faith. I watched the video. The dude has balls.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Not even going to, but hey, I'm super stoked that they're actually like taking this legitimately and like wanting to do something like that instead of doing a computer rendered, though I'm sure a computer rendered is cheaper and safer.
Say a lot safer, yeah. You lose that actor and it's like, oh, well, or that stuntman, and it's like, oh,
that's a problem.
no more Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, exactly. That's stuntman. But
all right, guys.
Yeah, I watched the video and yeah, I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not a big one on heights, so I guess they won't be casting me in any Assassin's Creed movies.
Oh yeah.
There we go. All right, next thing on the list, Konami. Oh, Konami. They're back at it. A Metal Gear game. Oh, Metal Gear Survive. The first one without Kojima. It's gonna be a 4-person co-op multiplayer game.
Boo.
Thoughts?
Boo.
The hate is strong.
God, Konami.
I don't know.
They are set up to fail.
To be the positive thinker here. Okay.
Oh, good luck.
I remember Splinter Cell. This is another mode of it, though. In Chaos Theory, they had like a co-op mode, and it was sick. It was pretty cool, like, you know, going through and doing different things with friends. I think it was only two people, though. But it wasn't the main story. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like it was just a part of it.
I'm not against co-op mode. I actually am really enjoying those in game lately, where like in The Division, that's the whole reason I kept going with The Division, is because I had people to play with. I like the idea in Wildlands, I think it is, the next Ghost Recon. That's supposed to have a lot of cooperative play. And yeah, that seems to be my thing. Even like playing Diablo, right? That's the reason. I don't like playing against people. I like being friends and playing
friends.
Together.
You bring people together. That's what you're doing here.
But it's just, I feel like we're still raw from the whole Konami Kojima debacle, and to announce this right now is intense.
I don't really have words, because I really do like Metal Gear and the franchise. It's just, you know, when the main guy behind it all goes and they try to yeah, we're going to do it. No, Metal Gear is still alive, dude. We're going to switch it up. It's kind of like that new Quake, I think, that's coming out that is completely different than any other Quake. And, you know, purists, I would say, that really like that arena style. It's like they're turning it into the MOBA style almost. So I don't know, man. They're trying to change things, but people they're going to take it how it is and probably not accept it with open arms. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I guess the question is how long do they have to wait now before they release it? Obviously, it's not coming anytime soon. The question is, like, how long are they going to wait before they put it out? And are fans still going to be pissed? Or are they just going to be like, I just want another Metal Gear? And obviously, it's going to have nothing to do with Solid Snake. It's not going to have, you know, it's... let's see what the details said. It's an article from Polygon. Takes place in an alternate timeline set after Metal Gear Solid 5, Ground Zeroes, and a prequel. This is the cold meds kicking in right now. to Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. So yeah, an alternate timeline.
Why don't just make a different game?
Some Zelda action coming in here right now. Alternate timelines. Jeez. Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see what the reaction's going to be, right? Because, I mean, that's a hard pill to swallow, you know, a Metal Gear game without Kojima.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel that what made Metal Gear interesting and all that stuff is the story and the setting, not the name per se.
But he did it. It's his story.
It's him. So they're just like taking the name and putting in a generic 4-player co-op shooter. So it's just, it's 100% going to dilute the brand. I am sure it's going to dilute the brand. Mm-hmm. Metal Gear in 10 years will mean nothing except for the first. Oh, I remember when Metal Gear 4 was so good and 5 was amazing and then Metal Gear Zombies.
Maybe they're doing it on purpose. Like, Kojima, we're going to take your...
Maybe. Oh, it's true. I didn't think of that. They're trying to mess up the Metal Gear name, maybe.
Yeah.
All right, this next piece of news, I'm going to throw to Sarah and to you, Tempo, because it's all about StarCraft II. Legacy of the Void to welcome big multiplayer design challenges. Sarah, take it away.
Oh, my God, it's huge. Pretty much Blizzard is just switching the game over. That's what I feel like. There's so many new changes.
Yeah.
I think, if I remember, let me look at my note. Okay, so in StarCraft 3, wow, Kwame.
They're actually making stuff.
Oh, okay.
There's something.
This card's not here yet.
In StarCraft 3 races, you play as 3 races.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's Terran, Protoss, and Zerg. They all have their own abilities and things, and I'm not going to get into details because it's way too complicated. But Terrans, they have 8 units that are getting changes and pretty huge changes. Protoss 4. And then Zerg 6, so that's 18 units that get huge changes. And I don't even know what's gonna happen, but it's gonna get the game in like completely different direction and changing what they call the meta, like from A to Z. It's huge, man. It's huge.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Like, now the reason why I think this is a big deal is because after Legacy of the Void came out, which is the last expansion, you know, a lot of people are like, okay, Blizzard has Overwatch, you know, they have, or whatever project, they have World of Warcraft, you know, their cash cow, and then they have Hearthstone, which is like this out of the blue cash cow. StarCraft really wasn't making a lot of money, you know, so
yeah.
Most people and fans of the genre and the brand, or rather of the whole franchise itself, we're kind of like, okay, as soon as Legacy comes out, it's over. They're not really going to care much about balancing or anything like that. But this kind of change is almost like a new expansion-ish without like new units. Because they're like doing a bunch of random stuff that you wouldn't expect them to do, like from a design perspective, as opposed to only tweaking numbers. And that's, I think, why a lot of people are happy about it, but also like, whoa, like this is...
Is this going to screw with competitive play?
I mean, it could, but it could not. I was talking to someone at Blizzard. I'm not going to name names because I don't want whatever, but somebody was saying that what people are expecting is for these changes to be tested out the way every other changes were tested out before in StarCraft. Mm-hmm. And was saying it's not going to happen this way this time. They're testing it out in a completely different way. So people might... It actually might end up being better. It didn't explain the whole way.
How differently are they shipping it? Well, like, what do you mean by they're shipping it differently?
They're the changes, they're going to be tested. differently. Normally, I don't remember the whole thing. Maybe Kwame can explain those. But when I think most of the time when they test changes like that, or balance, what they call balance, they do it internally. And it's never exactly the same thing when you test it out internally than when you test it to the public. So maybe they'll do a paragraph PTR. Ooh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, they did a lot better with it.
Yeah, but there you go. StarCraft, the whole Blizzard has been doing way better with StarCraft in the last few years. So I know for a fact that they're testing it in a very different way than normally. So that actually might be a really good thing. And I hope that it actually ends up being a good change, because I feel that even with the new, that new expansion, Legacy of the Void, there isn't that many things that have changed. Like the meta kind of changed a bit, but not that much. So maybe with this, you just throw in everything like out of whack and be like, guys, this is it. It's out of whack. It's a mess. Not a mess, but you know what I mean? Pick it up, do with it what you will, find a new build, find a new meta, find new things. And so hopefully that's what happens. I think that's kind of the goal that Blizzard is going for.
I think so too.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. Just throw it out. Just like, it's a piece of a puzzle. We're just throwing the pieces on the ground. You know these pieces, but we're just throwing on the ground. We're changing, mixing things up. Pick it up, make it something different, and have fun with it.
Exactly. That's like Dota does too. I mean, right? Like a lot of
competitors. So they're changing how the game is played pretty much from A to Z, right?
Not A to Z, but a lot of big units. Because with StarCraft, the meta changes a bit with like the balance patches, but they're going to fix a bit, like little things here and there. Also, this unit is a little bit too strong, or this unit is a little bit too like weak. So it'll be like, okay, we're going to try to balance this out. But then now it's not a balance patch. It's a freaking like
design. It's like, okay.
So it's 18 units that are being changed. It's quite a lot actually. But
why do you think they're doing it? Why do you think they're doing that?
I think it's also what Kone said, like people thought that Blizzard would just leave StarCraft alone, kind of, would just be like, oh, it's an expansion, it's out, guys, that's it, whatever, we're done with it. But I think they're doing it to change, to be like, okay, guys, we're still involved in the game, we're still involved in the community, we're still involved in the scene, because StarCraft still has a huge, pretty huge esports scene. So I think they're saying, like, maybe, like, we know that you guys love this scene, but we also know that some things are repetitive. Some things happen a lot. You'll see this player and you'll know that he's kind of the favorite. So he most probably will win this tournament. Or you know that he uses the strat. So you see the strat. Okay, this strat most probably will win the game. So I think they're just doing it. Okay, we're going to just change everything so that it keeps things fresh, keeps things interesting. And it's just going to give you this whole new thing to discover. And just like, it's going to keep the passion fresh.
It stops the game from getting stale, pretty much.
That's it. Exactly.
Pretty much.
You don't get bored anymore, which is cool.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder if they're going to be doing that on a yearly basis, because like around BlizzCon is when they said they want to get it live, and every BlizzCon they have a big, big finals at the end of it, right? This one is, I don't remember how much money it is, but it's like the most that they've ever had for it.
That makes sense that they make this update now so that people can be prepared.
Yeah. So it's just like, they're gonna do the update after the final. So everyone like has been practicing for the year, they can get their whole big tournament. It's now, you know, let's mess things up, you know, let's mix it up, see what happens.
Let's just throw everything that you knew, throw it in the garbage,
you know, just
start again.
Try again.
All right.
That's now let's go for the next. That makes it exciting. Hey, you gotta keep the game exciting, right?
Kwame, blinking DDs.
Yeah. It's just, you know, that.
Crazy, but yeah,
I think would never happen.
It's gonna keep things interesting, and I think it's gonna, maybe young blood will actually come out of this, like new wolves, new players that you've never seen before. Just gonna pick the game and be like, hey, I'm gonna try this, and I'm just gonna go crazy with it. And some people will be like, hey, who's this player who does this crazy strategy? Hopefully,
cool. You know,
what I'm doing.
Chelsea. Sweet. All right, we're going to talk about our last piece of news. Everybody has been, rumor mills running high, all that jazz when it comes to PlayStation, because they have an event coming up September 7th called essentially the same thing, the PlayStation meeting, the same thing as they called when they announced the PlayStation 4. And everybody's talking about the PlayStation 4.5. Are they making it like slim? All this jazz. Well, it looks like they are making a slim. So multiple news sources are coming out with pictures of a new PS4 that has rounded corners, is about the same size as the new Xbox One S, and looks like it's the real thing. Now the question is will it get a price drop? Not sure. I guess the details are to come on September 7th, all the official news. But hey, if you haven't gotten a PlayStation yet, I'd wait. Wait.
Oh, okay.
Wait.
That's me. I haven't got one yet, so.
Wait. So you haven't gotten one. Were you in the game plan to go buy one?
I was thinking of getting, I didn't know if I was going to get a PlayStation or an Xbox, but I did want to get a console in some point.
Mm-hmm. And what was your deciding factor between the two?
It was basically E3. I think like the game, a lot of the times when I look, I'm like, whatever exclusives, and the PlayStation games that they showed were a little bit more interesting to me. Mm-hmm. That would be exclusive because, you know, those are the kind of things that I look for. I don't really care about as much as technical performance as, like, as a PC gamer. I'm like, PC Master Race, you know, I think.
Well, I'll give you one piece of advice.
Okay.
If you enjoy the Dark Souls series, then you will need to get a PS4 to play Bloodborne.
Yeah.
Oh, Bloodborne. That was one of them. Yeah.
If because you do fall in love with it, there you go.
I fell in love with Bloodborne before. Bloodborne is the first game I played. I played it before all the other ones. And to this day, I'm not sure which I like better, Bloodborne or Dark Souls. So, I mean, if you like Dark Souls, you got to get a PS4 for Bloodborne, definitely.
Mm-hmm. That's actually the most frequent question I receive is from people who are like, oh, you're into gaming, what do I buy, an Xbox One or a PS4? And I'm like, well, what do you like to play? Because essentially, they're the same thing on the innards. So where are your friends and what do you like to play? So,
Cool.
I'm also excited to see that new God of War, that like Nordic style Norse gods. No, that looks pretty
cool. PS2, because I had a PlayStation 2. Skipped the PlayStation 3, but seeing some of my series get continued made me a little bit salty because I didn't have any access to playing them. So.
Okay. Yeah. And yeah, Sergeant Hudley in chat, I think they're going to make Bloodborne 2 too. It was too big of a success.
They will not.
They won't?
No. Miyazaki confirmed that Bloodborne was a one-off, and it was something that he wanted to try, but he was not going to make a Bloodborne
game. Really?
Too. And he's not going to make Dark Souls 4 either. The Soulsborne series are done. Yeah. He's going to make a different game now.
Wow.
Well, different as in it's going to be Dark Souls game in a different setting.
Its own universe, yeah.
Yeah. He's been saying that he wanted to do a future punk, steampunk-ish style setting, so that's something that he's looking into. So maybe that's
what cool.
Working on right now. Yeah. I like that. There was actually a couple of a concept art that he had made that leaked on the internet, and it looked really fucking amazing. So.
All right, so I mean, if you got the same kind of structure as a Dark Souls or a Bloodborne meets steampunk.
That's I have full faith in Miyazaki. He hasn't led me astray yet, so I will let him lead me to glory.
All right, that pretty much wraps it up here for the news. We're going to get into our topic of the day, which is our wonderful guest, Mr. Tempo.
Hey.
So I want to learn some details about you, sir, and how you got into it.
You didn't check my eHarmony profile before we...
No, I didn't. I'm not on eHarmony, remember? He put a ring on it. So yeah, how did you get into gaming?
Oh, man, I've been gaming my whole life. It was probably my brother, though. Actually, this guy right here. Where is he?
There he is.
He actually did because he's the one that brought home the Super Nintendo. Well, we had a regular Nintendo, and I didn't get to play that much of the regular one, but I do remember the day when he brought home a Super Nintendo and Super Mario World. And I don't know how many hours I lost to that game, or just days even, you know, just like coming home from school, before even going to school, getting yelled at by my parents. He'd be like, yo, Kwame, you have to go to school, you know, stop playing the game. And I'm like, okay, mom, I'm sorry. But, oh, man, basically ever since that day, I've been a huge, huge video gamer. A lot of RPGs. RPGs are, I think, my favorite genre, even though everyone knows me for RTS, like StarCraft 2. RPG is definitely, like, the genre that I've lost the most of my life to.
Favorite RPG?
I would say Chrono Trigger.
Oh, good choice.
Just way made back. A lot of people in chat happy now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Chrono Trigger is definitely that or Earthbound. I don't know. I had like the Super Nintendo RPGs, I think, at the age that I played them, had the most impact on me. You know, like as you get older and you, I don't think you get the same feeling as, you know, when you're like 7, 8.
I think it's your imagination and you're throwing more
exactly.
into
yep.
it.
And I was so into it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, so StarCraft, you started playing at the original?
I actually randomly got StarCraft 2 when I was in London, or rather StarCraft 1 when I was in London. And I was just like, I heard of this game, you know, I didn't know what it was. And I just picked it up. I was in like the bargain bin too. And I just randomly played the campaign. Didn't know you could play competitively. I was like, oh, that was cool. You know, what's the next thing now? You know, like I just
Brood War
and just beat it, you know? Yeah. Well, it came with the Brood War. It was a double.
Oh, nice.
But I didn't know if there was anything else after that. So it wasn't until StarCraft II, which I got for my birthday from my friend, that I really got into the whole scene and realizing that it was more than just the storyline and the campaign. You know, there was a whole multiplayer competitive aspect to it. There was community with custom maps and arcade games that people would play together. And I had no idea about this stuff at all.
You're kind of like me running into Diablo right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's a thing. I love it. And I love discovering new things like that. And mm-hmm. when did you discover the thing that is Twitch?
Oh, man. So this was back when Justin TV was a thing.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, mainly people would just stream on Justin.TV, and then live stream was like, you know, this is when everything was competitive. You know, the Twitch never really ran away with it just then. And I don't think it was until they branded it as a strict, you know, video game platform that I, you know, really started watching streams as much. I think I only would watch Day Nine, who is a really big figure. He was a really big figure in the SE2 community and taught me a lot about the strategic aspect of the game and the multi.
Everyone knows Day Nine.
Yo, Day Nine is, I love Day Nine,
he's
man.
Super popular now.
He's the best. Yeah. He's definitely, he did, I mean, he hosted the PC thing for the E3, right? Not even just PC, but,
yeah, the actual
PC
like,
Gamer, PC Gamer, I think it was.
PC Gamer, I guess press conference, you would call it? Yep. Yes. Yeah. Which they really like trimmed down this year. They did a good job with it.
Mm-hmm.
Much better than the year before. Just to let everybody know in Twitch chat, if you're interested in asking Tempo a question, feel free to throw it into the chat. Simon and Sarah are keeping track of that as we go. I got another question for you, Tempo.
All right.
So, for the StarCraft community, what is the biggest change that you've seen in the game that's really affected the StarCraft community and you doing your online stream and the competitive side of things?
Like in the game or just like in general? Like
in general, I mean, it could be anything.
I think Blizzard's involvement with the competitive scene. Mm. So as soon as it went from just being a bunch of people, you know, making their tournaments, the grassroots is a pretty big reason why I think it got a lot of attention. But Blizzard's involvement in it all and really making it this viable option for people to play professionally and present them in a way where you can at least find a hero or somebody to really connect with.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And like just having the events in general, which is pretty cool to me. It went from this pipe dream thing that just happened in Korea. And, you know, sometimes like MLG would do it, I remember. But now like they have their own circuit and they seem to be really having hands-on experiences with it.
Cool.
So, I think a lot of people are happy with that too.
That's nice. Yeah.
I want to bring a parallel to Overwatch, and I think that's one of the reasons why everyone is so hyped about Overwatch, because they've seen how Blizzard deals with their IPs when it comes to tournaments and stuff. So,
yep.
You know, we know that they are going to support the game because they want to make it work. So that's
Same
super encouraging for organizations to make professional Overwatch teams and StarCraft teams and Hearthstone teams. And
that's a thing with Blizzard. I think that they've learned a lot in like last year, ever since I came into the whole esports scene. I've seen Blizzard learn a ton from a ton from their mistakes. But it's good for them. Like hats off to them for that. But seriously, Blizzard, when it comes to their games, they're very protective of them, but they're also very, like, they're there. They want to be there. They want to be in it. They want to be with the community, talk with the community, be, you know, be there.
I think a good word would be nurturing.
Yes. Yeah.
They really want to, like, uplift their community and be there with them at the same time, and when it's dipping, you know, pull it back up. I mean, it might be something like this update to StarCraft to kind of, like, you know, you know, start the fire again, or you know, just like, you know, give them that boost.
They listen. Yeah. They listen.
They're really passionate about their games too. Like, I went to this community summit, and I'm under NDA, but just being there and seeing, like, the different things they showed us, and, like, this is our plan, and they have this whole, like, timeline of stuff that they want to do, and I'm just like, oh man, like, it's so much better than before, where it almost felt like they didn't want to, you know, it's just, we're Blizzard, we're going to throw this out here, and you guys are going to deal with it. We don't want really a lot of input. Sarah was talking about it earlier, about internally testing everything and then never really getting community feedback. They've been so much better in the past, like, two-ish years, I would say, than, you know, before, and it's really awesome to see that, and how awesome the competitive scene, not only for StarCraft 2, but, like, Overwatch, as Simon was saying, and, like, you know, you see these big Hearthstone tournaments going on, and they still support, like, World of Warcraft Arena too, right? Like, you know, they don't really hear a lot of people talking about it, but they still will support it and put on those tournaments
for yearly big tournaments for the games.
That's true.
Their communities, and that's so great. I think it's one of the few game developers that actually do listen. They won't change every little bit that people don't like, but if they feel that, yeah, it is a big problem, or it's something that needs to be changed, and it's been reported by the community, they'll actually listen, and they'll look into it. They will look into it, at least.
That's good. That's good.
That, that influenced me to really, like, okay. Like, I made a lot of songs. I did a lot of, straight out of passion, right? And then, really cool.
Yeah, I remember, I think, was it David King?
At the WCS?
I was with you for some reason, I don't know. And he said, like, oh yeah, we like that guy because he brought back the passion for StarCraft. He was talking about you. Was it him?
I literally did.
Tell the story.
Okay, yo, DreamHack Austin, right? Okay, there was a ton of these things called Thundersticks. You clap them together, they're like noisemakers.
Oh yeah. So we know those from hockey arenas.
Yes. And I'm like, there's not enough passion in this crowd. You know, people are sitting there watching it like, you know, nobody, come on, it's 2016, can't, let's be real, right? So I run over to the Twitch booth, and I get, like, stacks on stacks on stacks of Twitch things, noisemakers. And they're like, Skur, can I ask what you're doing with these? I'm like, don't worry, I'm just bringing the passion back. Don't worry about it. So I would go over, and I'd be like, hey, you need some passion? And I'm, like, throwing stuff into the crowd, and they're inflating them. And by the end of that event, in the finals, that whole stands and the bleachers filled with a bunch of people that had the Thundersticks, and it was just so much louder, so much more epic, people cheering for the players. Because, you know, your hands get, they got red when you clap too long. It's, you know, not everybody brings baby powder to them, too. You know,
you have to really take care
of your audience, yeah. And your boy Tempo, he took care of the audience, went back and forth. They thought I was probably putting them in my backpack.
Yeah.
What do you think I'm really going to do with, like, 200 Thundersticks?
Until the volume went way up the room. And then they're like, oh, that's what he was doing. All right,
exactly.
Bravo.
And I saw that, and I looked at it, and I was just, you know, don't need any credit for it, but I just nodded my head. And
You got credit for it. I mean, David Kim himself said it. You got credit for it, boy.
Nice. It was beautiful, man. Very nice. All right, on the flip side of things, what do you think has been the biggest change in Twitch since you started streaming?
I'm trying to think. There's been so many, like, it's come a long way. Like, the ease of streaming now, I believe, is one of the biggest ones, I think. I mean, it's kind of a boring one, but before, like, to stream, I remember I was like, okay, I have to buy, like, a pack, a 3-month license for XSplit or something like that, or use this thing called Flash Media Encoder, which was just a pain to set up, and you'd have to watch video tutorials if you even wanted to have a chance. But I feel like anybody can stream. They've expanded their platform from not only just being able to, you know, use XSplit or that other one I was talking about, but of course there's OBS, which is nice to use as well. And then you can stream directly from your PS4, from your Xbox One. I think just broadening this thing that we love doing and watching and making it almost mainstream to anybody can just, you know, set up their PlayStation and do it means that, you know, people start watching more streams online and it becomes more common for people to actually be like, oh yeah, do you know who like any big streamer is, right? Like Lyric is or stuff like that. Just integrating it into what I think is more mainstream, because I think consoles are a bit more amongst my friends, at least. Not many of my friends are PC gamers, aside from people that I know online and stuff. But most of my friends that I grew up with in high school and college are mainly console gamers. So I think, yeah, them taking it from this little niche thing to almost this juggernaut that could be the future of entertainment is pretty sick.
Yeah, I think it is the future. I think we're in the future.
I think we are in the future right now. We are kind of, though, because they're not going to hear us for a bit because of the delay.
I know, we are legitimately in the future. All right, now you're also a musician, artist, and you do a lot of cover songs. Yeah. You know, put a different spin on things, you know, like parodies and that kind of jazz. I love your When I'm a Grandmaster. Like, I was listening to it and I started singing along. What was the inspiration behind that one?
Cool. That was basically everything that had, everything leading up to that song was my experiences in mainly that time with StarCraft 2. So I followed StarCraft 2 almost religiously. I played it. I read up on the strategies. I'd watch everything. And it just was my own take, I think, which seemed to resonate with a lot of other people at the same time. But the inspiration for that was just everything. I was like, how can I package everything in to like one feel-good song that just captures, I don't even know how to like say it right now, but the feeling what I had when I made it was basically, I just need to really, how has StarCraft 2 and esports affected me? And this is my journey. Bow, like just put it out, because you know, it's like my diary almost, but in a musical form. And it ended up just being this thing that resonated with so many people, not even people that followed StarCraft 2 sometimes, you know, they're like, yo, I don't know what the hell this game is, but the atmosphere and seeing everything captured is really, really inspiring and just intriguing to me.
And so, how many parodies have you done to date?
Well, I don't even know. I was like, I swear, no, I thought it was like a small number. And then I started looking. I'm like, dude, I've done a lot.
Like, what was your favorite?
See, if I say a favorite, then they listen, you know, they're going to get
like children.
They're like my little children. You know what I'm saying? But I think my favorite parody like to do was, it's actually pretty hard. It's a song called So Mad You Rage. Mm-hmm. And the only reason why it was so funny was because I ended up asking the community, send me replays of people getting salty in game, because I want to put this in a video. And, you know, if somebody sees their self in this video or sees themselves in the video, they can realize how kind of foolish they look, but in a lighthearted, fun kind of way.
I love that.
So I had people message me like, yeah, I'm that guy. I'm really, really sorry, man. I didn't mean it. I was just, you know, I was just like, oh,
but that's the fun in it.
Yeah. I just was having a bad day or like, you know, I don't know. It was great.
Sweet. I'm going to throw it to Sarah now. I know you guys are pretty close. So she probably has some like blackmail-y questions.
Uh-oh.
Kwame, your girl. Kwame.
Hello.
When are you going to get the dreads to do the Lucius?
Wow. See, okay, I've said this time and time again. I love my dreads. I miss my dreads, but it's like a journey, and it takes time to get them all set up. So I'll start on them tonight. Okay?
But, like, I mean, the comparison was pretty, like, it makes sense. And dude, you with the dreads, I was like, what?
Let's break it down. Like, I wanna cosplay Lucio. Yeah. All
right, we gotta put this in context, Sarah, for the folks who probably see the picture. Okay, so pull it out.
And it's a thing. Sometimes people that don't even know Kwame, like, they don't know that he's in the StarCraft stream, would come to him and actually be like, wow, okay. So that's the thing, okay. Ever since Overwatch came out, Lucio has been one of the characters that has come out as the game came out. It's not a new character, it's an old character. And Lucio is a really cool character because he's very into music. He heals with music, and he also speeds up the group with music. And he has all these catchphrases, which is like up the tempo, and then I don't remember all of them, but there's a lot of them. And the way he acts,
let's drop the beat.
All of these little things, they sound a lot like tempo when he speaks. Like, it's literally him. So, like, everybody that knows tempo are just like, Blizzard, you have to admit that you based Lucio. And you know what the last draw was? Do you know what the last draw was? Because at first you can, like, okay, fine, maybe it's just like something that kind of looks like him. No, no. The Lucio's, the box of cereal, Lucio's spray.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That spray. It's exactly like the booty-o's that he has from the WWE. So I'm like, no, that's done, Blizzard. You're done. Like, you have to.
Dude, you're their model.
They'll never admit it. That's the thing.
Never. Even Kibbles, he breaks at Blizzard. I was like, come on, son. Really?
We tried.
Hey, has anybody ever told you that? And I'm like, no, you're the first one, man. But
even people that have never met Kwame before, they don't know who he is. And they just like,
do I have the booty? Meet him
randomly. And they're like, dude, are you Lucio? Like, it's really, it's a thing.
That's hilarious.
Do you have your shirt? Oh, there
you
go.
Booty is.
Look at that.
Make sure you ain't booty.
Oh my God. You wore that. You wore that last time I saw you.
I did. Yeah. I think so. I wore it the first day at Montreal. Yep.
Awesome.
That was when I saw you. Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like, Blizzard has to admit it, and Blizzard has to make Kwame do lines for Lucio now. It has to be a thing.
You're the official voice actor from here.
There
on.
You go.
Yep.
Yeah. So now
you have a lot less. I'll take it.
He has to have the drive so he can do the cosplay.
Yeah, the cosplay. That was what the main thing was. The started. So I need to get my dreads back so that I can pull off a Lucio cosplay. I need to do it.
IRL Lucio.
I know.
That's it. But
I'm gonna cosplay.
Mm-hmm. We have a new song coming up.
Ooh. Oh yes, I told you about it. The party in Noombani. I'm about to make an Overwatch song. People were asking if I was going to, so I want to do an Overwatch song in video, and that is the one that I was working on. It's a very like funky, upbeat kind of one, and it makes a lot of references to a party in Noombani, basically being like the payload going through it. It's like almost like a parade float. And just the whole battle's going on, almost just like making references to it, just being a good old time. You know, they just might be shooting each other, but they take shots for real instead of.
Wow, you just put that in my head. The payload does feel a lot like a parade float, and moves at the glacial speed of a parade float.
So, I kind of take that and put it into this whole. It's the lyrics how I put it together is in a way where. It's going to be a fun one. The beat is really, really fun, too. So it's an original one. It's not a parody. And I'm really, really excited for it.
When is that one expected to hit?
I want to do it by, like, September. Okay. Like, in September. Like, in the month of September. Definitely before BlizzCon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can probably get the song. I want to do the video for it, too. Like,
mm-hmm. Are you going to do it, like, captured from the game? Or are you going to shoot, like, a music video?
Probably will be captured from the game for the most part.
Cool. That's fun. All right. Well, you'll have to throw that our way when the time comes.
Yes, I will.
We'll share it. Woo!
Break it down. We will.
All right. Cool. Sarah, do you want to continue? Do you have another question?
I had one. What did I have in mind? I don't remember. It'll come back.
All right. Cool. Well, I'm going to go then. Say you had to teach a young Padawan how to stream. What tips would you give them?
I say you don't give up. I know a lot of people get discouraged when they stream for like a couple days or even a week. And it's like, not getting too many viewers. And I think a lot of it has to, I don't know. It's weird because you want to stream a game usually that isn't too saturated. Like if you're going for the streaming, because there's two different ways to think about streaming. You just want to stream and broadcast, have some fun and like, you know, talk to a few people, maybe your friends and whatnot. And then, you know, it's whatever. I just broadcasted my game. Or you really want to get like the whole community building aspect of it. And, you know, there's a whole nother world out there where you can take streaming to another level where it's like, yeah, you're almost just building this family up as well. So I think when you're building it up, it's really hard to go into saturated games. And I know a lot of people get discouraged because they'll play, no, I don't want to play my favorite game. And there's so many people streaming that game that it's so hard to really build in that game because so many people are doing it at the same time. So if you just wanted to play the game and do it up and have fun, go ahead and just go for that. But if you have like other games that you really like playing, they might not be as popular. Go ahead and like stream them, you know, because a lot of the times there aren't a lot of people streaming those games. You can stream with a few viewers and you're still playing a game that you really like. And maybe you're an expert in it, maybe a speedrunner, or maybe it's just a game that you're playing for nostalgia's sake. I would recommend going through those kind of games and just really having that commentary. Well, depending on how you want to do it. If you want to commentate during it, if you just want to be like the funny guy where you have funny reactions and express yourself. I think that's the number one thing of Twitch, really express yourself to try to stand out. But if you're building that base, I would try to do it in a game that you enjoy playing still, but may not necessarily be like the top dog game at the moment, because it's going to be incredibly hard to start out in that game and build.
And you know, like it or not, a lot of streamers did exactly what you're saying. Like a lot of streamers that are very popular right now started with games that were not necessarily as popular at the time, and now that it's growing, well, they've grown with that game too.
Enough.
So it's they can branch out to play other games and they still have their base with them, that whatever game they play, they're going to bring the people with them. So yeah, that's very smart. That's a very smart move to play the game you want to play, not the game you think will be more popular.
Get you the most, this has a ton of pool of players, or rather a pool of viewers. But it's really hard to, if you're trying to grow like that. So, you know, even if you have like three new people that come in, really engage with them, make sure that you show that you appreciate it and be like, hey, you know, and have the conversation and just enjoy it. Like have it like they're sitting there on the couch, like playing the game with you almost.
That's what I feel like Twitch is like. It's like back in the day when you play one person games and then your brother and your buddy are sitting on the couch playing, right? So,
yeah,
that's what I feel like Twitch is like too. Sergeant Hundley says, a great tip Twitch gave me the other day was to have giveaways. Keep your audience coming back. Is that something you do frequently?
I haven't done many giveaways. I've done a few, but it wasn't something that I had done a lot. You know, and I do agree, Sergeant Hunley is right. Giveaways are one of the big things that bring people in. And what it allows you to do is to really show them, you know, you as a streamer. So they're going to come, they don't think for a second that, oh yeah, I'm going to come because I really, this guy looks cool. No, they want the free stuff, like obviously. But if you're able to capture the audience right there, you know, like, okay, this guy's actually a really cool guy or a girl, you know, a really awesome streamer. And I'm going to stick around. Like you just already got a fan or a follower for however long you can keep them for, which is another thing, the regular schedule consistency that Hunley and Azefa said too. So.
I streamed a bit on my own before joining Girls on Games, and yes, giveaways, you get tons of viewers and like maybe you get like 20, 25 people in your channel while you're doing the giveaway. And maybe just one or two, you know, viewers will come back when you're not doing a giveaway. So I feel that, yes, it's one way to build your audience by doing that kind of stuff. But, you know, I guess it could get expensive depending on how much giveaways you want to do.
Yeah,
but it does work. Like I was giving away CSGO skins and, you know, I had 20, 30 people in my stream when I was doing the giveaway. And then whenever I would stream a day after, then some of those people would be back and be like, hey, man, how's it going? You know, and then we were having interaction, that kind of stuff. So that was really fun. That was super fun to do with those people. And of course, always going to people just come back for the skins. But, you know.
Yeah. Oh, so true. Like growing like that, getting even a few followers, because the way that Twitch works is like you're going to be growing really, really slowly, right? You might get a few regulars here and there. There's a point where you can get to where it's just so much easier to get like more and more followers a day just by having, there's like a sweet spot where it's just like, okay, I'm getting like one or two followers a day, you know, cool. And then all of a sudden you're going to start getting more viewers, those people that you keep and you know, you're staying consistent, which is what is key. Cause once you stop, you know, streaming for a bit, you might come back like a week later. Well, you know, a lot of hard work could have gone down the drain. Just from that, it might not seem like a long time to you, but You know, you will have to kind of build back up again, unless you really have some diehard fan that like or a way to engage with them while not streaming. So whether it's doing YouTube videos to keep them on a consistent basis, like the reason why YouTube YouTubers are so successful is because it's almost like I need to watch this YouTuber every day. It's part of my morning ritual or my evening ritual before I go to bed or when I'm at work, when I'm bored. Having that new video a day, having that streamer stream every day, that's basically what you do. You integrate yourself into that person's schedule, and that allows you to grow so much more.
Sweet. We got a question from chat from Judy. What dashboard metric would you say is key, the key one to focus on?
Huh. I don't know.
Like followers, viewers.
Followers, viewers.
I think I have to like pull it up because like I remember there's one that is like, I don't know the name of it. It's not even concurrent viewer. That's one that you always want to do pay attention to. Obviously.
Returning maybe.
Returning, is it? I don't know if there's a metric. Is it?
Is there recurrent?
Time watched by per viewer, I think, is one of them.
Yeah, that's time a good one. Per I know in radio viewer. That's really important because my normal job is in radio, and minute spent per user is actually really important.
I think that was the one that I think I value the most as well, like personally, because like what it shows is that how many people are tuning into your stream and actually watching it, like whether you're doing the giveaways, are they like just coming in and you do the giveaway and then all of a sudden you're going to see this big drop off, or are people actually finding your stream and then being like, okay, this stream sucks, I'm out of here. Or like, you know what I mean? Like that, it can tell you that as well.
I know that's something super important when you start looking for people who are like vloggers and YouTube watchers, like to see what the drop off point is, to know when people stop listening, because then you got to figure out, okay, well then what is it? Is the content too long? Like, how do I get them to come back? How do I get them to stay with me? How many people actually make it to the end? Right? Because it's tough. There's a lot of distractions out there.
And I was going to say too, like sometimes it's not even like the fact that your stream is like bad by any measure, by any means. It may be like too high quality, you know, like you're streaming at too high of a bit rate or something like that. So people come in, maybe not with the best internet, and you know, you might not have the function where you can go source. You know,
yeah, like I think only partnered streamers have that.
So like if you can't do that, then you have to really, really be conscious about the people that are coming to your stream and what it is for them when they actually watch it. Are they going to get lag? You might have the best internet, or you know, you take advantage, or rather you take for granted what kind of internet you have, as opposed to maybe the average person that actually stumbles across your stream. So, you know, people like to have the highest quality stream, but not everybody can watch the highest quality stream, and people watch it on mobile now too. So,
though I must say Twitch has been doing a pretty good job with balancing based on your settings and what device you're watching and all that kind of stuff too. Even if you don't have that cog with the being able to drop or up the quality of a stream.
Yeah.
Good. They've been making some improvements there.
They really have, yeah. And I think in the future they were thinking about even adding it for more streams without even being partnered. I know they've done it for viewers where you get to a certain threshold and then you get it unlocked or something like that. I've heard that they might even be thinking of allowing you to not have to be partnered in order to do that. I think really cool, at least.
All right, last question for you. What's next for you?
For me? Oh, that song that I was talking about?
Yeah.
It's going to be more streaming, but I want to focus more on content creation.
Ooh, I think this like is what? Thing,
like that. Basically, more music videos, more maybe some kind of thing that I can cook up that I can do on the regular. Making videos for certain games and whatnot. I'm not really sure exactly what it is that I want to do, but I know one of them is the music thing. Something that I've missed so much, being able to have that video that I put all this work into and then give it to the world and really show my creativity off, I think.
I know that you've talked to me about this, but I think that many people might not know, but Tommy do a lot of covers, but now more of like a lot more originals.
Yeah.
And there's a reason behind that, actually.
Yeah, I know, like, when you do covers and whatnot, you know, you have to deal with different, like, copyright and, say, even if it's a remade beat, when you want to go perform it and do stuff, like, I think I was talking to Blizzard at one point for their Heart of the Swarm launch, and I wanted to do Alive, which is a parody of Asheroth Grind. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh yeah, we'll try to do this up. And they were just like, you know what, it's too much of a legal mess to even try to.
Yeah.
Bother. Like, it's not, the risk is not worth it.
For them, they have to go and try and buy the license and all that kind of stuff to the song, which is quite complicated for an individual, and a YouTuber can throw it up. You know, yep. There's ways around it, so you can still get the notoriety over it. But I can see why Blizzard or you know, Valve or somebody like that would have a lot of problems with, you know, having to get the licensing.
Yeah. Which
is complicated.
So, I mean, and I, as an artist as well, I really, I the people recognize the parodies more because they might be popular songs, but as an artist, I love creating something and just being like, this is it. Nobody's like, nobody can compare this to anything really, unless it, you know, is a similar in some kind of way that it reminds them, but it's not like, oh yeah, that's that song that I know, but this version of it. It's like, no, this is my version of it. And you can parody that. Homeboy.
Sweet. So you're writing music, original video game theme tracks. You're doing, want to do more content. You're keeping up all the streaming. And you stream every day.
Yeah, well, every weekday. That's and then weekends go, like, I try to stream on weekends anyway. I do like these show match thing now every Sunday. And Saturday is always where I'm like, you know, I might fall off the schedule or I might do something because I got to like take care of some other things. I do audio engineering as well, like for local artists and whatnot. So I need sometimes to catch up with everything because I do neglect them sometimes. I'm like, yeah, but I'm like streaming.
It happens.
Other stuff.
It happens.
Turkey's great, by the way. Bajo Cubajo.
Turkey is great.
Not only the food, but the country.
The country and the food. Yes, exactly. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up for us here today at the Girls on Games podcast. Tempo, lots of love. Thank you.
It's been great to be the grill of the day.
I love it.
Grill,
I love it. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah, thank you. Simon, thank you for doing your magic.
Sorry for the background noise. I kept forgetting to mute my thing and you can hear my AC.
I don't know if you guys heard
that. No, we couldn't hear it. Only me. Okay. It's AC. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
It's all good. But we do. We all need to play some Diablo together.
Yeah.
I think that'd be fun.
Agree.
We need to make that happen. Yeah.
Indeed.
You guys can show me all your mad skills and teach the skill grasshopper.
We got you.
Oh, bam, I love it. Bam, I love it.
Got you.
All right, cool. Before we close out the show, just want to thank Fun.io, who is our website host. If you're looking for awesome web hosting, go check them out. We've got a wonderful Twitch stream team talking about regularity here. Yeah, they're going to be streaming all week, of course. We've got Cathless tomorrow doing... Simon? Oh, and now you muted yourself.
Drum roll.
Ratchet and Clank. Sorry about that.
Ratchet and Clank. Yes. That's right. And you want to fill us in on what Alice is playing on
Wednesday? Yes, Alice is going to be playing Destiny on Wednesday. I might or might not join her. I'm not sure yet.
What platform is she playing on?
PS4. She keeps bugging me about playing Destiny with her, and I might just cave in and do it. And then on Thursday, we have Miss Bianca with Final Fantasy X Remastered. And me Friday with Dark Souls. Or Deus Ex. I don't know yet.
I'll have to tune into that. Yo, Kat, get some tips.
Well, I mean, I'm playing DS3, and I actually just started a new game for the DLC. Because, like, right now I have three regular games that are all New Game Plus. But I want to just experience the DLC with not New Game Plus, so I restarted another one.
Yeah.
It's sweet. So before I give everybody the spiel at the Girls on Games social media and how to get in contact with us, Tempo, give everybody your social media details and how they can follow you and be your friend.
All right. If you want to be my friend, well, you can check me out on Twitter at Team Tempo, TEAMTEMP0. Also Instagram. I've been pretty active on that too. And remember, you can check my eHarmony profile as well at Team Tempo. But yeah, if you guys want to check out my Twitch, it is a little different. It's Tempo_SC, and that is twitch.tv/Tempo_SC, and that's spelled with a zero. But I'm trying to like change it. I was hoping that I could, but I think once you do like the partner stuff, then they like.
Once you do a period,
ask one of the Twitch partner people. I think you can do it.
Because I like to get everything to be Team Tempo across the board. That's the dream. That is the dream. But also my YouTube, which I'll be putting stuff onto as well. I believe it is the Tempo with a zero on YouTube.
I'm actually on it right now, and it's, yeah, Tempo StarCraft.
Nice. Okay. There you go. See? We help.
Got him.
Sarah, how can people track you down?
My Twitter is the same name that you see underneath, like my face. That's pretty much everywhere. You can find me on Instagram. You can find
She's
me on
smart.
Twitter.
She's smart.
You can find me on Twitter. You can find me even on Discord. I have my Discord. It's on my Twitch page. But pretty much everything is on my Twitch page too. But yeah, pretty much Twitter. I go with Twitter. Twitter's fine. Twitter's good. It's easy. Everybody has it.
Nice. Simon?
GOG Simon, I'm on Twitter. That's it. I only have a Twitter.
Sweet. I'm Leah Jewer on Twitter and Instagram if you want to track me down. I'm also on Snapchat. I started that because why not? I decided to start.
Some of the cool kids are doing it.
Post random photos of my dog. I mean, what? No, I post pretty cool stuff. And of course, if you want to follow GOG, you can track us down on Twitter at The Girls on Games, Facebook at The Girls on Games, Instagram Girls on Games, on this wonderful Twitch channel where we stream and do this podcast every Monday night at 8 p.m. You can come back here anytime. Also, say you missed the podcast, don't worry, we got it covered. This goes up on our YouTube channel and on iTunes. You can track it down at The Girls on Games podcast. And that is pretty much it.
Shout out to Judo Flip Rules.
Yeah, Judo Flip Rules. Love it. Love it. All right, cool. Everybody, have a wonderful evening. Thank you, panel. And we will see you all next week. Ciao.
Bye-bye. Bye.